Prior to that, there's a whole list of good things. And then, but no matter how many good things you have, you've got a problem on your hands. I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Now notice the word sufferest. That simply means tolerate, to allow her, to give her a free hand. And this was the problem. Nobody was doing anything. There was just no action, no leadership, no preventing of this leaven spreading in the church. They just let her alone. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today we're turning again to the book of Revelation, and this time to the church at Thyatira. These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Oh boy, here's a church with a major problem. And as asked in the introduction of our sermon, have you found the church that you would want to join? Well, here's a good one, but it has a major problem. One big black blot, because it has Jezebel as a prophetess, a teacher seducing. Oh boy, this is dark, it's deep, and it's a spiritual problem. And we need to be careful that we don't fall into that trap. So, welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I pray that today that your own heart will be encouraged and challenged, and that there will be a faithful warning from the Scriptures today to lead you into the paths of righteousness, the ways of blessing, and to flee from the ways of evil. So stay tuned as we turn now to the pulpit ministry of our church, as we turn to Revelation chapter 2, the church at Thyatira. Church number 4, we come to Thyatira. I wonder, have you found a church yet you're willing to join? One that you say, this is it. I need look no further, because this is my kind of church. And this is a good one. This is a really good one with one big black blot, one major problem. I was thinking about this earlier, and I thought about talking about the elephant in the room, the big problem. But I'm not allowed to do that because we're talking about a lady, someone who is referred to here as Jezebel. And she is the female version of the problem that we looked at in the church at Pergamos last week, that church that was infected by the world. There were the Balaamites and the Nicolaitans, and they were bringing the fleshly, the carnal, the worldly into the church, and that was a problem. Now, in this church in Thyatira, we have a lady, and she is using all her craft and all her wily ways to be a major influence for evil and to lead these people to fornicate and to eat that which is sacrificed to idols. And so we can see a major problem developing right here. Now, in verse 20, you will see the issue.
notwithstanding. Now, that's the big but. Prior to that, there's a whole list of good things. And then, but no matter how many good things you have, you've got a problem on your hands. I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Now, notice the word sufferest. That simply means tolerate, to allow her, to give her a free hand. And this was the problem. Nobody was doing anything. There was just no action, no leadership, no preventing of this leaven spreading in the church. They just let her alone. Now, this is where wisdom is required. There are pastoral issues in families, and fathers and mothers need to know this, and ministers and elders need to know this. There are times just to leave things alone. I remember Dr. McClellan saying to me as a young preacher that when God gives you a people to preach to, it's like a diamond, cutting a diamond. And it's not the work of a day. You chip away here, you chip away there, and you just seek one day to get that diamond into its shape and get it all shined up. And you can't come crushing the every issue and driving the thing into a bigger problem. But this Jezebel could not or should not have been left alone, because when you go on down the passage, you will find in verse 24 that the devil is using her. She is the devil's tool. I remember one preacher referring to her as the devil in a skirt. And so she is using her subtleties and using her influence, and the devil is using her. And this, of course, is the devil's aim. Now, you learn from this that there's never two churches the same. There are never two churches with the same difficulties, the same problems. And a neighboring church might be battling something that this church knows nothing about, and vice versa. What could be a problem in this congregation might be unheard of in any other church in that generation. There is any number of individual issues that arise in a congregation. Why is that? Because we're dealing with people. And people are of all shapes, sizes, physically too, but by nature, by personality, by character. And some let their guard down and some allow themselves to be used by the enemy. And we see this happening here. Now, why is the devil always seeking a way to invade and to attack the church? Because it is the image of Christ. The church will always be targeted by the devil. And the church will be in the sights of Satan because he hates the image of the Lord on earth. Also because the church is the pillar of the truth. You read that in 1 Timothy, the church is the pillar of the truth. And God has made the church to be that living witness to bring the light of the gospel to a darkened world. And the devil's afraid. He's afraid of the light shining into the hearts of men. And so he attacks the church and makes sure he gives her a rough time lest she becomes effectual. And of course, the church ought to be the birthplace of souls, the place where boys and girls hear the gospel, come to know the Savior, and where people come in off the street and hear this good news of the gospel, and they become Christians. The devil is always in the business of attacking that. And so the devil will never stop parading up and down, roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may devour, right inside the church. And so, my brother and my sister, I've got news for you. There's a target on your back. You are wanted and hunted by the devil because you're a Christian, because you are a living testimony to the Lord Jesus. Now, when we cut through all the issues in this church of Thyatira, we come to just one command, just one thing that they were told to do. And I want you to look at this in verse 25, which says, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." That's it. Hold fast till I come. And these are our orders. We're not a perfect church. Thyatira wasn't, Pergamos wasn't, and Ephesus wasn't. And what was the one after Ephesus? Sardis, the ESP has to help me here. So there were no perfect churches in Revelation. There are no perfect churches today. If you're perfect today, just wait a week and the phone will ring and somebody said something and the problem arises and we are never going to be a perfect church here on earth. But we are to hold fast until the Lord turns. In other words, don't become weary. Don't just give in. And don't just let alone those things that are wrong, those things that the devil is using to destroy the church from within. And so we're commanded to hold fast. What I want to do tonight is to go down this letter and look at the things that we're to hold fast. That should keep it simple. That should keep it straightforward. And I think it's a good way to deal with the whole letter. The things that we are to hold fast. Will you look at these with me? We'll begin in verse 18, the beginning of the letter, and you'll see that we are to hold fast the truth of Christ. And immediately we learn that he is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. Now, this is the only time that the Lord calls himself the Son of God. Now remember, in these letters, the Lord designates his own name according to the problem. That the introduction he gives to himself to each church is the remedy to the problem. And he introduces himself here to this minister of the church, Thyatira, and he says, verse 18, "These things saith the Son of God." Now, why is this important? Because we learn in church history that the apostasy and uncleanness in the church arises out of denying the deity and the purity of Christ. Every time a church trends toward idolatry, it invariably trends toward uncleanness, every time. The history of the United Church, 1988, the United Church in Canada was the first church to introduce and permit sodomites in the pulpit. The Anglican Church has followed. And we have churches in Canada that have led the gay agenda in this country. They have been ahead of the politicians. They have been ahead of the corporations. They have been ahead even of school boards. We've had churches. And 50 years ago, these churches denied the deity of Christ. They fell into liberalism. They swallowed the lie that Jesus was not virgin born. 50 years ago, that was the raging battle in North America. And churches that fell into that false doctrine very quickly fell into the ways of sin and shame. And the things that are going on in this church of Thyatira, they really need to be dealt with by true doctrine and the deity of the Lord Jesus. Now notice that the Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, is looking for purity. It says here in this verse 18, "Who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass." Those are searching eyes. Those are eyes that search out sin. And they search through and through. Down in verse 23, in the middle of the verse it says, "And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts." The reins grammatically mean the kidneys. That's the root word, the kidneys. The very inner being of our natures. The Lord, through those burning eyes, searches the hearts of men. And of course, as those eyes shine upon this church in Thyatira, he discovers the sin of Jezebel, the uncleanness that she is promoting, and the leniency that the church has toward it. And of course, men may make excuses, and they might say, "But it's the times we live in, it's just the way the world is, and I'm just a man, I'm just flesh, what do you expect but to be polluted?" The Lord says, "I am the Lord that search these things." And of course, the antidote to uncleanness is to get your eye on the spotlessness of Christ. He is not only the Son of God, he is the pure, sinless Son of God. And it is faith in the impeccable purity of Christ that will keep us pure. And when we lose sight of that truth, we are in danger of falling into the uncleanness. So do not give Jezebel an easy pew. Preach to Jezebel, Jesus is the Son of God. Preach to Jezebel that he searches out sin. And don't allow Jezebel to be at ease in what she's doing. Call her out. Rebuke her in the name of the pure, sinless Son of God. That's the work of the church. And we're to hold fast the doctrine of the deity and the purity of our Lord Jesus. Moving to verse 19, we're also to hold fast the things that the Lord commends. There are a number of commendations in verse 19, and we see that this church is A1. It is really a model, godly, spiritual, and servant-like church. The first thing you notice that the Lord commends them for is their charity, love. Oh, the Lord loves the love of his people. And the Lord Jesus, who loves us with an infinite, wonderful love, he delights to see that love in our hearts. A people that are constrained by the love of Christ. And you'll notice what it leads to. This love leads to works, to service. That's what it leads to. And of course, the church is to be known by those that love each other. By this shall the world know that ye are my people, by your love for one another. And then it translates as the commendation goes on in verse 19, service. That's equivalent to washing one another's feet, humbly serving one another, and faith. This is the James kind of faith. The faith that James says, faith without works is dead. And because there was the love of Jesus burning in the hearts of these people, they were willing to wash one another's feet, to serve one another. They demonstrated their faith. You could see their faith. You could know their faith by their works. It was faith that worked, and they ministered happily to one another. Then you'll notice that works comes up again a second time. It is repeated the second time. Verse 19. My, this is commendable. It seems that the Lord has seen their practical Christianity in every place he looks. These are people that just love to put their Christianity to work. And then the last commendation, they were growing. The last to be more than the first. As the Lord looks into this church, he can see that these people are going on, and they're going through with God. And they were singing, as we sang tonight, "Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, through the garden, through the judgment, whatever. We will go through with God." That's the people here at this very church. They were growing. Now, how do you know a growing church? How do you see a people that are growing in the Lord Jesus? Well, they don't take any more shortcuts. When children grow up, they stop taking shortcuts. When you become a young man or a young woman, you don't do the childish things, cut the corner, sweep it under the carpet, get away with what you can. There's no maturity there. There's no responsibility there. But when you become an adult, you do it thoroughly. And you're growing. No more latecomers and early quitters. You know, when there's a job to be done, the person shows up last and he's gone first. His heart is not in it. These people in this church of Thyatira, they were abounding. And then we see that all these things that we must keep doing, abounding in them more and more. Let me ask you, can you say tonight that in the last year, you might want to make it 5 years, I don't know, but in the last period of time, you are doing, serving, working, walking, worshiping the Lord more than before? That's a question to chew on a while. And we won't pass out ballots on that one. We won't ask for feedback on that one. But it searches our hearts. Are we abounding, growing? When I was a new Christian, I remember every morning after milking time, first thing you did on the farm was get to that milking in the morning. And when that routine was over, it usually took about 2 hours in total. By the time you got those animals in through the milking parlor, washed up, everything ready for that tanker to arrive and take the milk, that took about 2 hours. So I was usually at 18, 19 years old, the hungriest man in the world. I was ready for breakfast. And I remember eating big breakfasts after that morning milking period. And then as a new Christian, I would steal up to my bedroom and I would have a little prayer time, a little Bible reading. And it was just in minutes. It was just minutes. But those minutes with the Lord, I can remember them to this hour. Now, when I go to my study to pray, and I get on my knees, it's not always just minutes. We need, as growing Christians, to not just be cutting corners and keeping it short. We need to spend real time. And that is when we know that we are growing in the Lord. And we certainly can't afford to slacken. And as the Lord looked at this church, he commended them that they were not slackening. And he said, hold fast till I come. And this was a wonderful encouragement to their hearts.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. Who added affliction, he addeth his mercy. Who multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus,
Thank you for tuning in and joining with us on the program today. It is a real joy to my own heart to bring the message of God's Word, and I trust that we are all encouraged and challenged that we need to be growing and abounding in the Lord. By their fruit ye shall know them. And I trust that there is that evident fruit in your life of a new zeal, a new love for the Savior, a new delight in His Word, and a readiness to serve Him with all your heart. By these things you can know that you are following after the Lord. Now, we are here to help you, and I hope that you can be in touch and let us know that you're listening in. And if you have prayer requests or personal needs, feel free to be in touch. I'm your servant for Christ. And I'd love to hear from you by phone, 604-576-1091, or by email, cloverdalefpc@telos.net. Or you can go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And of course, we can pray together, we can open the Bible, read together, and if I can be of help to you, I'm glad to do so. And I just want to unite in prayer. Maybe there's someone here today that you're not well. Perhaps you're fighting a spiritual battle and you need the Lord's help and power. Let's unite in prayer. Father, we come to Thee in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus today, and we thank Thee that there is victory through Christ. You have called us to be holding fast in these times, and I pray that You will give us grace, give us the Holy Spirit and power in our own souls to stand for Christ and to serve Thee. I pray that You'll encourage Your people, comfort those that are lonely, those that are not well, that need strength in the body, that they might be ministered to in the inner man, that though the outward man perish, yet the inward man may be renewed day by day. Lord, You can do that. And so we're putting our trust in Thee. And so bless Your Word and work Your will in every heart. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website, www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony Dederno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when, once more, we let the Bible speak.